Save big on your Labor Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app.
Buy one, get one free on our full line sale of delicious fresh Tyson chicken with your card. Then get 6 ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.67 each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here. And today we're going to preview training camp, which begins on the 23rd. Rookies have already reported, and Taj Washington is already on the PUP. Mark Perry is not playing. He's also injured. We don't know what happened to Taj Washington. There was no media there for day one to see the rookies. As always, this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. They're with us again for year. I keep forgetting what year it is that they've been with us. I believe it's 5, but you can use the promo code 5, which is, you know, kind of, there's some symmetry there. Use the promo code 5, F-I-V-E. You deposit $100, you get $100. And, of course, Better Edge. Go to betteredge.com/5reasons, and you get $20 just for signing up. If you want to speak with us, if you want more access to us than you already do have on Twitter or by listening to us on this show, you could join our Discord. You go to our Discord. It's at discord.gg/OnlyFins. You become a member there for $3 a month. And the plugs do not end because we have a store. And you guys made it a success in the first month. We have really, really nice designs out there. We're really, really proud of them. We're not trying to get rich on you. Our shirts cost $19.99. I dare you to find designs as nice as ours for $19.99. They do not exist anywhere. Like our Mike McDaniel, Now You're Just Flexing t-shirt. One of us on this podcast got that quote out of him. I wonder who that was. Our Greatest Show on Surf t-shirt.
Do we have a picture of Simon on that t-shirt?
No, he's not. He's not on that.
I need extra money for the image, right?
Yes. We have to pay him a bigger share from the store.
Well, we're not trying to get rich off of people, but it would be nice.
Yeah, we want you wearing our stuff. We're not giving them away either, okay?
But also, in all seriousness, we actually don't care about the money. It's just like the merchandise is just a cool thing to have, right? From the little podcast that we started how many years ago to now have actual merchandise that people actually wear is just a cool thing. It's nothing to do with money whatsoever. It's like I couldn't give a shit about that. It's more about
And actually merchandise doesn't even pay all that well. It's just it's more just like, you know, about it's more it is honestly about like making our audience like happy. Like they've been asking for shirts and stuff like that.
It's a vanity thing. We have our own coffee line, okay? So
you asked for WhatsApp and we gave it to you. You asked for merchandise and we gave it to you. So next up, Chris is going to offer to sleep with all of you. So
Our most popular shirt, of course, is the McDaniel Tua 2024 shirt. It's the sequel to our really the only shirt that we produced that actually made us a profit, which was the Miami Tua 2020 shirt. So this is the sequel. And guess what? You guys like it just as much because that's our bestseller. You could get it for $19.99 at our store. You want to visit our store. It's onlyfins.printify.me/products. And everything is on there, from coffee to hoodies to hats to shot glasses.
You know, since that shirt's been updated, we should probably send the new one to Olaf again, because, you know, he's still working with the old one, Josh Gad.
Yes, we do got to do that, right? I'm going to add him, I'm going to add him from our account. Maybe he'll help us sell a few of those shirts. All right, training camp's almost here. I'll be there on the 23rd. I'll be there for the duration. I will be your way also, Chris. I'll be in Tampa for the joint practices there.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So that should be a lot of fun. So we're going to preview the offense here to start off. We know what's happened to Taj Washington, but we're going to start with the quarterbacks. I don't think we're going to spend too much time on this. I'll start with you, Simon. Kevin Hardison is just a camp arm, right? And Skylar Thompson, after a terrible camp last year, he just was not – he did not look like an NFL quarterback in my estimation last year. I think the hierarchy could not be more set. Mike White is back. He's the backup. There should be no surprises as to who's the backup, correct? Or maybe you disagree.
No, I think White's the backup, but I think there'll be a full-blooded competition between Skylar Thompson and Gavin Hardison. I was told during minicamp that Hardison had impressed the team an awful lot, and I think Skylar Thompson's in a fight for his job, Chris.
Yeah, I think that I think that Skylar Thompson was fighting a little bit harder for that job, that QB2 job last year than maybe you might be thinking. But it's Gavin Hardison that is intriguing to me, because, and I know that I have a tendency to get obsessive about low wage, bad outlook quarterbacks, but he is intriguing because he's got a lot of arm talent. And is capable of making those sorts of jaw-dropping plays. Where, you know what I'm talking about, the plays where a guy is, he's scrambling around and you're like, just go out of bounds or just throw it away or just, everything that you're thinking in that moment. And then he pulls something out of nowhere that happens. And it's just like, it's eye-opening. And he's capable of a lot of plays like that. It's just all of the other stuff, staying in rhythm and seeing the field and making your pre-snap reads and post-snap reads and everything like that. We've really got to see a lot from him before we can have any kind of good outlook about him. But I do think that Skylar Thompson is going to be fighting with Mike White for that QB2 job this year because he's cheaper and that matters. So,
yeah, I don't want to out anybody, but you can guess who they were because you can see who I interact with on Twitter. But we were, if I had a dollar for every time we were on the cardio deck watching these guys practice last year, and we all just stared at each other like, this is not good, is it? As we were watching Skylar Thompson direct the third team last year, or the second team on a few occasions. He just did not look good last year. That was a bad camp he had, and we didn't see him in the regular season. So we don't even know if he progressed off of his rookie season where he had a couple of moments. He wasn't all that great, but he had some moments. He was good against Minnesota. He had his moments in the Jet game, although they only scored 9 points on offense. But, yeah, I'm all for it. I just don't see it with Skylar Thompson. I didn't see it last year. I'm all for it. If Gavin Hardison can round out this quarterback room, that'd be a good thing. I think we can move on. Running backs, it's one of the best units on the team. Raheem Mostert, Devon Achan, Jalen Wright, Savon Ahmed, Jeff Wilson, Chris Brooks. Man, that's six names. I would like to keep them all, but we know Chris Brooks is practice squad eligible. Jeff Wilson got the year guaranteed. Is that correct, Chris, by the way? That's correct, right?
I believe so, but I'd have to check OTC.
Yeah, you could check while I talk to Simon, you could check OTC. I believe they guaranteed the year to cut a year off of his contract. I think that was the deal that they made with him. You got to think this is kind of straightforward, and Savon Ahmed is in some kind of danger. I think Chris Brooks, they saw enough last year that he should be the developmental guy. And
you're okay there.
Yeah, I had a mini stroke. So yeah, they'll dress four on game days. I think they will. It's something that the 49ers have done often. It's something the Dolphins did often last year. They'll dress four on game days, and Chris Brooks will be on the practice squad with a fifth running back actually dressed in Alec Ingold. Simon, you agree this is kind of a simple position?
Yeah, I mean, The whole thing about the offense is injuries, and can they stay healthy at all those critical positions? Can the quarterback stay healthy? Can Achan stay healthy? Can Odell Beckham stay healthy? Can Hill and Waddle stay healthy? Those are massive question marks. And I think, that's the reason why they drafted Jalen Wright, because of Devon Achan. Similar profiles. Wright's bigger, but similar profiles. I think Jeff Wilson has proved historically he's a good special teams player. He's great in the locker room, but also he can move the pile. And he proved that at the end of the season when needing to pick up big first downs against Dallas in that clincher, the playoff clinching game. Mostert obviously remains a really, really good player. Achane is an X factor who can line up all over him. We know that he's going to do that. And Jalen Wright is an XX factor in terms of what he can bring to the table. So yeah, I think those will be the four. I think Savon Ahmed is the odd man out. I think Chris Brooks will be eligible for the practice squad, and that's probably where he'll sit. And Ingold is, you know, there's few better than him in the league.
Chris,
first things first, and we always have to get this out of the way. We're talking about, you know, rosters and how things are going to shake out. Practice squad is more like the 53-man roster than ever before. And so there's going to be 17 members of the practice squad because Byron Matos will claim that international exemption spot as a 17th player. Practice squad is you're able to bring those guys up for the games and actually participate in the games three times through the season, even though they're not even on the roster. And I think that that's an incredible thing that people have to keep in mind. So now who makes it on the roster is basically at the bottom of the 53-man roster is basically who you think that you need to protect from being claimed from somebody else. Whereas the guys on your practice squad might be the guys that you actually have in mind to play for a couple of games, you know? So when we're talking about who's going to make roster, who's going to be on the practice squad, I think kind of consider those two things to be a lot closer nowadays than in the past. So don't get overly obsessive about who's going to get cut and stuff like that. I think I would split the running backs into two groups because I think that you have guys like Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson and Jalen Wright who, you know, they do things. They represent kind of one group and how you can use them on, on first down, second down, third down as pure runners. Whereas Miami clearly has a tendency to have some other running backs participate more in the passing game, be your classic third down back kind of, or so-called third down back, even though it's not really third downs as much anymore. Led by Devon Achane, who spent a third of his reps outside of the backfield, lined up as a wide receiver or in the slot or, you know, whatever. That was him. And that only seems like it's going to continue and perhaps even expand this year. Savon Ahmed was also used that way too, though. So Savon Ahmed is basically his backup for that kind of role. And surprisingly, Chris Brooks is as well, because Chris Brooks gets used outside of the backfield. The thing is, when he's used outside of the backfield, like Devon Achane or like Savon Ahmed, it's not unlike those two guys. Those two guys are used that way on pass plays. Chris Brooks is used that way on run plays. He's used as like a perimeter blocker. And I think it's really interesting because he does spend about a third of his snaps outside of the backfield, not like a running back, you know. But he's doing it on run plays. And so he has that versatility to be used as kind of like a pseudo fullback-ish kind of thing, except not really being put as a lead blocker like a real fullback like Alec Ingold would be. So I think it's an interesting group. They do a bunch of different things really well. And so you look forward to seeing how they could fit them together against individual opponents with their game plans.
The one thing about Chris Brooks I think is interesting, Alf, is that whether we as fans like him a little bit more than the team does, even though he performed well when he was given the opportunity, because there were times down the stretch where we needed a power mover. There were times down the stretch where, you know, we talked ad infinitum about our inability to move and convert third and short and fourth and short. And at £230 plus, Chris Brooks would seem like the perfect foil for that. And yet he wasn't used in that role very often. And I wonder whether that was a symptom of the offense, whether that was a symptom of maybe, you know, some running backs just aren't great in short yardage situations in terms of having that, you know, decisive instinct, the footwork needed sometimes just to beat a penetrating interior defensive lineman. But I do think it's interesting to see what happens with Brooks in terms of what he can do, because you would have thought there were critical times down the season where, you know, having Brooks on the roster, having Brooks coming in those short yardage situations would have been perfect. And he wasn't used, he wasn't called upon, and yet we still couldn't do the thing that we've been talking about trying to do for for 18 months. So I think that bears watching moving forwards in terms of what happens with Chris Brooks.
Yep. And Chris Brooks impressed last year, and you could just see it from last year. You know, legitimate 96-yard touchdown run in 11 on 11, when it was ones on twos. So that was number one defense going against the number two offense. Chris Brooks rips off a 96-yard touchdown, got everybody on the sideline pretty excited. That was noticeable, seeing a 230-pound man moving and running away from defenders on the number one defense. So
Could I pose a different question though? Because like if we're talking about the running backs, are we going to include Alec Ingold in this discussion? Because I think there are some interesting angles there. Like what does happen? I'll pose this to both of you. What does happen if Alec Ingold misses games injured?
well, last
Which
year
presumably.
the last year the emergency guy lining up in the backfield was Julian Hill.
Yeah, I was gonna
Then
say.
occasionally Chris Brooks on third team, but you know, 13 fullback is essentially, we just got to get these snaps out of the way, you know, in a preseason game or in a practice where it's a 45 snap practice. You get to the last 12 or 10 snaps and you decide, you know what? We don't need to see Ingold out there anymore. We don't need to see Julian Hill out there anymore because that's not something we're going to do too much. So throw Chris Brooks out there for the last five or six snaps. So I think
Yeah,
it's Julian Hill.
I think Julian Hill is interesting as a blocker, as a second tight end blocker. Putting him in the backfield or and having him as like a lead blocker is honestly not where I would want to put him. That's I don't know that he moves that way enough. So it does become interesting because they did experiment with Tanner Connor and for as much as he's a wide receiver convert, and this is very confusing. But they experimented with him as a lead blocker straight up in the backfield, just cracking skulls, and in the preseason. And I wonder if they're going to continue that. He was surprisingly good at it, to be honest. And I also wonder how much you could see Chris Brooks. Like this could be the camp when you start to see Chris Brooks used a little bit more like that, like the straight up backup fullback. Back up to Alec Ingold, like that's the way that he gets kept around.
I wonder
It'll
whether or
make.
not they just motion Hill into the backfield, and do it that way, and have him coming down and you know, blocking that way, rather than being somebody that just lines up automatically in the backfield as the full at the fullback position and doing it like that. I think that'll be interesting to see in terms of what happens if Ingold does go down, God forbid.
Moving on to the tight ends, and they're the best job in the NFL is the backup quarterback. The second best job in the NFL is Tanner Connors, because his whole experience in the NFL was that awful game that he played in New York, and then being injured and then showing up late to camp, everybody speculating he's going to get cut, and lo and behold, he's still here. So we have tight ends, Jonnu Smith, Durham Smythe, as safe as you can be. They like Julian Hill. I can't see a world where he gets cut. Jody Fortson, small investment there. Good looking athlete. Tanner Connor and Hayden Rucci, who is essentially a clone of Julian Hill, Durham Smythe, revisited. I don't foresee how he can make it with the numbers game that you have at tight end. This is a pretty straightforward group. Is it over for Tanner Connor finally? Simon.
I think it's over for Tanner Connor, and I know you guys are really high on Jody Fortson. I just can't see it. I mean, he's had 14 catches in 5 years. I mean, he's 226 pounds, but runs a 4.9 or 4.87 40. I mean, you know, he played in that high-powered Chiefs offense, but caught 14 passes. I just don't get the hype, really. You know, great. You know, great in inverted commas in the red zone, but you know, I think it's a bit of a misnomer that tall guys catch passes in red zone. You know, it's not like we just throw the ball up in the air and hope that some big man comes down with it. I think that, you know, Hill has the I think Jonnu Smith would do the job that Jody Fortson is going to do. I suspect also that the Dolphins would probably want to keep an extra receiver, you know, rather than, I mean, the problem, obviously, with Taj Washington going on the pup list, I mean, it kind of ties in with historic Dolphins offensive players in terms of getting injured early. But, you know, you look at Beckham, Berrios, Craycraft, Ezukama, Hill, Waddle, Malik Washington. I haven't even mentioned Taj Washington. We know how much they like Braylon Sanders. Are they only going to keep five of those? I doubt it. I think they'll keep an extra receiver, and I think that'll be at the cost of a tight end. I just don't see this offense carrying someone like Fortson, who just does so little. That, but that's, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it'll be Hill, Smith, and Smythe.
Yeah, and when you talk about being a red zone threat, most passes on the goal line are designed passes with very, very quick reads, one or two reads at the most. I would be absolutely floored if they're calling plays on the goal line to feature Jordy Foreston when you have Jonnu Smith, who's really good at catching and running with the ball on designed passes, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Odell Beckham. You got all the names.
But also,
So,
the guys out the backfield, Wilson's got great hands, Mostert's got
yes.
great hands,
Yeah,
Wright's
Jody
got great
Foreston's like
hands.
number 15 on the pecking order
Yeah, if
there.
he's that high, I'd be surprised. But yeah, I absolutely 100%. I just don't see it. I just don't see him making the team. But I know Chris likes.
I would plump for him a little bit here because I think that it's not just red zone. First off, yes, I think he is a significant red zone threat. And Mike Gesicki, that was basically the only value that he had here. 2 years ago, they wanted to see if they could use him in other parts of the passing game, but he's not really built for other parts of the passing game. What they did find is that he could catch touchdowns, and sure enough, he caught five touchdowns, and we've not had a tight end contribute a single touchdown since then. So I think that he is here to be a threat in the red zone. Yes, I do think that his number could be called in the red zone. For as much as he only had 14 catches with the Chiefs in his career thus far, four of them were touchdowns, and he had another 16 catches in the preseason, and three of those were touchdowns. So I mean, like he clearly that was the role that he had carved out for himself with the Chiefs, but he also never really stayed healthy successfully. That was a big problem for him. And the other thing that we're ignoring that he does is he is an important special teams player. And he's a very good special teams player, and that's going to be as important as ever this year, because I think a lot of people have been underestimating the impact of these new kickoff rules, and what we're going to see from the NFL on these kickoffs. And what kind of blockers that they need now, and what kind of players that they need in order to make that work now. I think that he is a guy that impresses people in practice, and he's already got people talking about him, so I think that he impresses in practice, and he's tantalizing to be used in the red zone. But the bottom line is he's good at special teams, and so that's his role. If you're wondering how he's going to make it, he's a special teams plus red zone guy. And that's what I think that he can do. He moves like a wide receiver, and when we're talking about like 10-yard split and things like that, he has the kind of acceleration off the line of a wide receiver. He just doesn't have that great top speed. So I would look forward to seeing what he can do in this offense in the red zone. But really, he's going to be contributing on special teams. I think that Julian Hill and Durham Smythe are very similar. When they bring out two tight end sets with those two, they're going to run it probably a higher percentage of time with that personnel grouping. And you know what? They're going to jam it down your throats and get five plus yards per carry anyway. Even though you kind of know it's coming. And that's what we saw last year with Durham Smythe and Julian Hill when they were on the field together as two tight ends. They were brought out that way on run downs, and they still managed to average really good yards per carry. Jonnu Smith, on the other hand, we kind of know what he is. He's a move tight end. He's a roller. He's going to be he's going to be used unattached to the formation a lot. But we're talking about Jonnu Smith and what value he might present in the red zone. To be frank about it, he's not been a big red zone guy. He's not been a big red zone touchdown guy in his career. going back to his time at Tennessee. So we'll see how that shakes out. I kind of imagine that that they're going to end up wanting to use Durham Smythe still a lot, and I think people will be upset by that because they have high hopes on Jonnu Smith, and so do I. But there are things that they need from Durham Smythe that he's good at that will make certain personnel groupings work. And particularly if they do work with tempo, as I've speculated, because they can have Tyreek and Jalen and Odell Beckham all in the field switching different positions. All three of them can play all three different positions and just have that personnel grouping not leave the field, not sub in and out, not do any of that subbing, which helps them to use tempo and put pressure on a defense that way. Who's going to be the tight end when they do that? It's probably actually going to be Smythe, not Jonnu Smith. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. Clearly, some of these guys do very different things from one another, and so they classify certain ways. But it'll be interesting. And this is probably Tanner Connor's year where he's finally gone.
I heard an interview this morning that completely floored me, and I pride myself in knowing what's going on with this league, and I had no idea that this was the case. Simon, do you know who the assistant head coach of the Denver Broncos is?
Is it Sarah Palin?
Great guess. No, it's
Damn.
Mike Westhoff. Do you remember
Really?
him?
I do, the
Yeah.
special
Oh, he's
forces.
alive.
Yes, not only is he alive, well, it's a bad that's a bad choice of words, Chris, because the guy
Ooh.
had bone cancer.
Oh, Chris, you're a terrible person, mate.
The man had his leg replaced with steel,
Chris,
okay?
you are awful.
I'm a terrible person. We all know this.
Okay. He's 76 years old. He's the assistant head coach of the Denver Broncos and the special teams coordinator. And he said something that stuck with me, and I'm going to use it as the gospel. He says every team in the NFL will now have three core special teams players and a depth chart behind them. If you look at the Dolphins roster, they have those guys already on the roster, which means Cam Brown and Saran Neal, when we get to the defensive side of the ball, are mega locks for this roster. We will join you on the other side. We'll talk offensive line as we preview training camp, which begins on the 23rd. But first, these words. Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sport. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3 yards. That's the number 3 yards and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3 yards on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so Premier Kitchen, Bath, and Laundry Cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 five-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
Moving on to wide receivers, Jalen Waddle, Odell Beckham, Tyreek Hill are the headliners. Eric Azukama, River Craycraft, Braxton Berrios coming back for another season. The rookies are Malik Washington, Jaquan Burton, who's noticeable, Taj Washington, who's on the PUP, and two holdovers, Braylon Sanders, who, my God, man, this is what, year three of the Braylon Sanders experiment, and Anthony Schwartz, who I saw run a few routes in training camp, didn't see much else of him. They got to keep six, and maybe Malik Washington gets in there in the top six, and they store Taj Washington and another guy in the practice squad. My guess is the two rookies, Jaquan Burton, Taj Washington on the practice squad. Malik Washington makes the roster, and we have a surprise cut, and I don't know who that could be. Your thoughts, Simon, on this group? All eyes have to be on Eric Azukama. Agree?
I don't know if I agree that all eyes have to be on him. I mean, it's a big year for him. I think Malik Washington is an absolute lock to make the team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's that should not be in doubt, and I don't think anybody should be going into training camp thinking, "Oh, is Malik Washington? He will make the team. He will absolutely make the team." I think it's difficult for Taj Washington to make the 53 going on the PUP list. We don't know what the injury is. We don't know how long he's going to be out, but obviously he needs as many snaps and reps as is humanly possible. I think Burton's an interesting name, you know, at the bottom of the roster, churning with the Sanders and the Schwartz. I don't think Schwartz makes it at all. Yes, of course, it is a big season for Azukama, and, you know, he's flirted and flashed, and, you know, and I think it's intriguing that, you know, in that game against New England, week two last year on a Sunday night, where they lined him up in the backfield and they ran him, you know, he carried the ball as a running back a couple of times. And I think that's the path that they wanted him on, a sort of a Debo Samuel-y type. And that's a, you know, really easy kind of thing to say, but, you know, I think they kind of like that. He's big and he's physical and he's quick. And, you know, I think they'll give him every chance to make the team. I could easily see them coming away with, you know, Hill, Waddle, Malik Washington, Odell Beckham, Berrios, and Azukama, and, you know, even guys like River Craycraft being on the outside looking in. I think that you have to parlay the fact that Odell Beckham is, you know, it's unlikely that he makes it all the way through the season completely healthy, because historically over the last few seasons, that's just not been, you know, a thing for him, unfortunately, because of, you know, injuries. I mean, he played, 14 games last year, played 8 games in 2021, he played 14 games in 2021, played 7 in 2020. So the last time he's played a full season is, well, in fact, he hasn't played a full season since, when did we go to?
I think it was his rookie year when he played a full season.
No, he played 12 games in his rookie season. So he's never played a full season. When did we switch to 7? When did we go to 17 games?
3 years ago.
Okay, so he played a full season in 2019 and a full season in 2016. But he's been in only twice in his career has he played a full season, and he's been in the league since 2014. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He missed 2022 completely. 9, 10. So this will be his 11th season. He's only played two full seasons. So, you know, the odds would say that he's not going to play 17 games for the Dolphins this year. So I think you've got to have that kind of backup plan, you know, and whether that is Ezra Kamara, whether that is Malik Washington, who I suspect will just solely play as a slot, you know, and battling with Berrios. But it's a good group. It's a really good group. And it's obviously led by Hill and Waddle. And look, I think this team's had a Tyreek Hill problem for a while because he's so good, you know, and I think hopefully what will happen is that, you know, we tend not to look for him so much and that maybe that just helps a little bit with the wear and tear on his body. But I think that you look for him because he is so special. And I think you look for him a little bit because as good as Jalen Waddle is, I think I still have some fairly significant questions about his hands. He doesn't have good hands particularly. You know, he is prone to some big time drops and some body catching and that sort of thing. He's still a very, very good player. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, there are times where he just, you know, in ultra critical moments, he has been prone to put the ball on the floor. He has been prone to drop catches. He tends to jump, and we know it. He jumps and leaps for balls and maybe hits his body and it, you know, comes out. But I mean, he's a great player, but you just want him to take that step up with the hands. And but you'd like to see a bit more even distribution, and but that's the responsibility of the guys on the roster to step up and be trusted. And at points you haven't felt like that's been a possibility, and Beckham certainly gives two of that outlet as a third guy. Malik will catch absolutely everything. He did at Virginia. He's a terrific receiver. He runs really good routes. You know, and I think he's really exciting in terms of what he could possibly bring to this offense. So it's a really good group.
Chris?
Yeah, a couple of things. With Taj Washington injured and starting out camp on the PUP, that's going to be interesting because one of the things that I expect to happen over camp is actually during a lot of these practices I thought there's a strong possibility that actually Taj Washington looks a little bit better than Malik Washington, his kind of rookie late round competition, because he's a little bit of an easier mover, I think, you know, a little bit more you know, twitchy against man coverage. And I think that that he could have impressed that way, but it's Malik Washington that I want in the games because he's the more physical presence. And I think that when you actually get to those preseason games and the regular season games, that's where you will see that. That's despite Malik Washington's size, you know, he's listed 5'8" and 191 pounds. He's built like a tank. Mm-hmm. And he has a physical presence to him. And I think that those are the kinds of things that you start to see more of when you put them in preseason games. You've got live tackling, you've got physicality, you put them in regular season games, you know, obviously that's full fire. So he's going to be working in the slot. I think he's going to be slot only. That's what he was in college. And you're not going to take a rookie already trying to make the transition from college to pro and then start having him practice all these other different positions, you know, while his head is spinning. So he is going to be slot only, just like Braxton Berrios was last year. Braxton Berrios was slot only. There were very specific situations where Berrios would get onto the field and be that third wide receiver. So I think that those two are going to be in direct competition with one another. Malik Washington, Braxton Berrios, for their share of offensive work. Won't be surprised whoever gets it, because honestly, Braxton Berrios on third down was a little bit better than I think a lot of people probably give him credit for. He, you know, a high percentage of his targets on third down actually went for first, you know, conversions. It was something like, I forget exactly what it was, but it was, you know, I think he caught something like 14 out of 16 of the targets that went his way. And I think it was like he converted maybe 9 of them or something like that. I forget, maybe 12 of them. It was a really high number. So, you know, he can be used as a slot in those obvious passing situations, as can Malik Washington. But I think the real story is going to be Odell Beckham and how they use him with Jalen Waddle and with Tyreek Hill. I think it's a running theory that they're going to try and have those three just on the field for large portions of the game. so that they don't have to do a lot of subbing, and so that they can get the chemistry with each other. They can get the chemistry with the quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, with Odell Beckham. I think Odell Beckham is going to play the outside so that maybe Tyreek Hill can be hidden in the slot and get some easier work that way, and easier opportunities to assert himself over the game. And if you're looking for a hot take out of me, I think that this could actually be the year, for all that I agree with Simon about Jalen Waddle's history of staying healthy, as well as history of basically being a body catcher. I think that this could be the year that he actually outperforms or outproduces Tyreek Hill. I mean, just from what I have seen in you know, stupid little workout videos and stuff like that, he has a little bit of a different look to him. And this is not unusual for guys that are coming into, you know, third, fourth years area of the league. You know, at some point it turns up and they become, you know, a professional in full flower. And I think that's what we're looking at with Jalen Waddle right now. He just got paid. And I think that he's not the kind of guy who just gets paid and then he's like, okay, so now I can relax. I think it's going to be a little bit of the opposite. And I noticed that when Tyreek did miss a game last year, who was the new Tyreek Hill? It was Jalen Waddle. He had over 100 yards in that game, made a huge impact, made plays against some of the best corners in the NFL against the Jets. And I think that he could have actually a really, really big year this year if he stays healthy. So I think it's going to be those three. And then the last thing is I'm not going to write off River Craycraft yet, because he's the only guy among the rest of them, aside from those three, the only guy among the rest of them that I'm pretty confident can play all three positions, all three wide receiver positions, and also block in the way that I know Mike McDaniel needs to be blocked from that wide receiver position on some of the plays that he calls. It was important. They put him on the field just because it was going to be a run play. And, you know, the defense, they could maybe try and key on that if they wanted to, but it was successful anyway. You know, and so I think that, you know, I think Wes Welker said something like he probably could teach blocking better than I can. And I think that goes a long way with this staff. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if he's pretty high up in the pecking order behind the top three.
All right. And now the offensive line. Let's go tackles. Teron Armstead, Patrick Paul, Ryan Hayes, Baron Matos, Austin Jackson, Kendall Lamb, Keon Smith, who's noticeable and will be interesting. Interior offensive lineman, Isaiah Wynn, Lester Cotton, Matthew Jones, Aaron Brewer, Liam Eikenberg, Andrew Meyer, and Ireland Brown as centers. Other guards, Robert Jones, Jack Driscoll, Chasen Hines coming back for his second year of duty. He has not dressed for a game, I don't think. I could be wrong about that. Simon, you're five. And what you're looking for in this group, I would say Ryan Hayes is an interesting one to make the team as maybe the fourth tackle, as you might want a redshirt Patrick Paul for a season, because he had his moments last year. He's good in pass pro. He played a lot of duty as the second team offensive tackle against first teamers. And you know who's on the first team, or who was on the first team last year, rushing from the edge. And I thought he held his own. I think he's going to be a guy to watch. But give me your five and what you're looking for on this offensive line as far as battles.
When you say five, do you mean starting five or five tackles?
Yes. They'll play these guys, of course, barring injury. Let's assume, which is a lot to assume, perfect health. Who are the five playing the Jaguars at Hard Rock Stadium or whatever is left of Hard Rock Stadium?
So it'll be Armstead at left tackle. It'll be Armstead. They're very good. It'll be Armstead at left tackle. I mean, my five and the five will be two different things, but I would say it'll be Armstead at left tackle, Isaiah Wynn at left guard, Chris's boy at center. It will be Eichenberg at right guard and Austin Jackson at right tackle. I don't agree with you about what's his name, the kid from Michigan. I think that Keon Smith, Patrick Paul, Kendall Lamb, Austin Jackson, and Terrell Armstead will be the five tackles they keep. I'd be surprised if they kept six tackles. I mean, Hayes has got a chance, obviously, and I know they like him, but I suspect, you know, Paul's obviously going to make the team. Armstead's going to make the team, obviously. Lamb's going to make the team. Jackson's obviously going to make the team. And then I suppose it comes down to Keon Smith and Ryan Hayes. But yeah, I would say I think Eichenberg will probably start. Chris, I don't know. I mean, Robert Jones. I mean, if we're starting Robert Jones,
well,
who knows?
I could say that about both of them, actually.
Yeah, it's
you know?
A mess, isn't it? It's a
yeah,
mess. Still, it remains a mess.
It does. And I would say that you're right there, like about, you know, if Robert Jones is starting, if Liam Eichenberg is starting, it's the main thing that I think about those two is that they're just not great fits for the offense. But they're here, and so since they're here, maybe we'll end up playing them. And that's, you know, that's not ideal to me. So I think that Robert Jones will have something to say about that competition at right guard. But also Driscoll will have something to say. And he's the guy that actually does kind of fit from a movement standpoint. So I think that the gravity is actually toward Driscoll, because of his fit for the team. But I think that Robert Jones is going to, have something to say. And Liam Eichenberg is caught in this weird place where, again, and luckily he is well paid. So for more, probably more well paid than you might be thinking. I think he's making over $3 million this year. But he, unfortunately for him, he ends up just kind of being put wherever they need him. And so he ends up being placed at positions because of other people, not because of him. And that's an unfortunate thing for a player. But it is just kind of the reality that we're in. And what I mean by that is he's probably the backup center. And that's just because the only other centers that we have are two undrafted rookies in Andrew Meyer and Ireland Brown.
Yes, Ireland Brown.
Ireland Brown. I keep wanting to say Ireland Jones, but no, Ireland Brown and Andrew Meyer are the only backup centers other than Liam Eichenberg. Those guys are UDFAs. Ireland Brown got in off a tryout. He's probably the only one that I'd be confident can try and do an Aaron Brewer impression, just in terms of pure mobility, movement abilities, and athleticism and such. But even so, I mean, odds have to be very well stacked against him, as well as Andrew Meyer. So Liam Eichenberg is probably your backup center. And the backup center, you know, kind of you need him to be able to concentrate on that sometimes. And that means you might not be the starting right guard if you're also the backup center. And so it's there's some realities there to reconcile. So I think that the tackles, I think I agree with Simon about the five of them that he isolated. Keon Smith is not a lock, but I do like him a lot. I would like to continue that experiment further based on what he showed a year ago. But I think that in the meantime, the gravity for the right guard position is probably belonging to Jack Driscoll. But Robert Jones, frankly, I think on tape, Robert Jones is a better right guard than Liam Eichenberg was. So we'll see how that competition shakes out through camp. The one thing about it that I'll also mention is that we probably don't question whether Isaiah Wynn is going to get that left guard job or not. But what we should at least question is whether he even makes it out of camp or preseason healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's his history. You know, that's the history of him going even all the way back to college, is you have a guy who is as injury prone as Teron Armstead. He is as held together with twine as Teron Armstead. And I don't mean to just, you know, pile on the guy, but that's just kind of the reality of the situation. The reality of his career, even though he's a young player. So, will he even make it out of there? And if he doesn't, then what does it look like? We've been talking about right guard. Well, what does left guard look like? You know, if Isaiah Wynn is not that guy. And so that's why I think that Robert Jones has a little bit of life to him, even though he's not the best fit schematically. But I do think that Jack Driscoll is going to end up playing.
And finishing up here, I want to ask Simon a little bit about this guy, because I trust that he saw more of him than I did. I watched this Penn State game. I watched him against Michigan. Matthew Jones, he was one of the first guys that they went out to sign as a UDFA. Ideal size at 6'3", 315 pounds. Can play a little bit of center, but I don't think they're counting on him to play center here. Looked like a good football player to me. First of all, why didn't he get drafted? Big school, good tape as far as I could see. And I venture to guess, I think he has a good shot in making this team. I don't see why, you know, he didn't get drafted. I think that, not that they found a diamond in the rough, but I think this is an NFL football player. And on a team that is not, let's say, stacked on the interior, why not Matthew Jones? At least as a practice squad guy, and a guy maybe, you know, the 2024 Robert Jones, let's just say. Matthew Jones, your thoughts, Simon?
Yeah, I mean, he had the slight misfortune of backing up a guy who's going to be quite a high pick next year, whose name completely escapes me, at Ohio State. He was a four-star kid. He was fairly highly regarded. I mean, you know, he played 762 snaps last year for the Buckeyes, playing at right guard. Only allowed four quarterback hurries, no sacks, no sacks in 2022 either. In fact, let me just have a look at his numbers here. So one sack he's given up in 4 or 5 years, because he was a redshirt senior. So only one sack in 5 years, four-star kid. I don't really know why he didn't get drafted. He didn't get he was quite a slow, ran quite a slow time at the combine. Physically, he wasn't amazing. Around 5:21, you know, slow shuttle time, slow three cone. You know, 23 reps though on the bench. I mean, he's an interesting guy that to be in the mix. And, you know, I had him as a late round, just looking, which is why I'm slightly hesitant. I was just looking at what I'd written about him. And, you know, I had him as a late round or undrafted free agent guy. He's a, you know, gets out quickly out of the blocks. He's snappy in the hips. He's, you know, he can redirect, but he's not, I never thought he was overly powerful. You know, he doesn't exude power. He doesn't have the kind of, you know, big, powerful hands. He doesn't talk, guys, sink his hips and talk. You know, and we don't play particularly in a power offense, obviously. You know, there are some times we run between the tackles and power is obviously necessary. But, you know, the stuff that he does actually with his feet and his athletic ability, where he can get up to the second level, you know, it is a plus for what we're looking for in this offense. He can redirect, you know, and he isn't a bad move blocker. And I think that probably the inability to, you know, he's not scheme diverse, so he only fits certain teams, I think, because of his lack of strength. But, you know, his contact balance is pretty decent. He can get up to the second level. He can wall off on the second level. And he kind of has an understanding of what he's going to do. And look, we talked about the top of the offensive line. You know, if Lester Cotton's still on the team, then, you know, we've got big problems in terms of, you know, if that's for the third year. I mean, nothing against Lester Cotton, but come on, can we not graduate? Can we not find guys to replace a Lester Cotton at this point in our proceeding? So, you know, I think he's in the mix, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Do you
sorry
to interrupt you, Chris. Do you compare him favorably, not to Robert Jones, the NFL player in 2024, because he's obviously absolutely an NFL player. If they don't sign him at the end of the season, I think he'll play for an NFL team in 2025. But how do you compare him? Do you compare him favorably to Robert Jones as a prospect coming in?
When Jones came out of Middle Tennessee State?
Yes.
Of course. I mean, he's just played at a higher level. Hmm. You know, he's played 1,500, 2,000 snaps for one of the best teams in college football over the past 5 years. So, you know, he's got a decent skill set, and it'll be interesting to see what he does. I'm just looking at his weight. He was 315. Yeah, he's decent. He's a decent weight. Be interesting. Be interesting to see what happens. I think he's he's kind of a versatile interior guy who's got a shot, because like we said, we've we're not blessed with brilliant guards.
Yeah, you can't have superstars in every single unit, and we've decided to put them all at running back and wide receiver on the
We
offense.
certainly haven't put them on the interior of the offensive line, that's for
No,
sure.
they have
Well,
not.
I did watch quite a bit of Matthew Jones because something did catch my eye about him in college when he moved for that final game against in the bowl game against Missouri. He moved to center. And something that stood out almost immediately about his work as a center was that he really pops up off of that snap quickly, getting his hands up and getting very quickly into his set, into his block. And that's a quality for a center. But it's the reason that he does that is because, as Simon alluded to, he's a pretty good movement guy. He's not athletic. He didn't, I wouldn't go that far. But he is a smooth and balanced mover. He's a coordinated mover. Though he's not a fast mover. You get him out into the second level and you ask him to start picking off these, DBs and stuff like that. That's not going to happen. But at the same time, he is very intentional in the way that he moves and very well balanced and coordinated in the way that he moves. And then that showed up at center because he could pop off that snap and shoot those hands like really quickly. And so I thought maybe his future is as a center in the NFL, similar to when the Dolphins drafted Michael Dieter out of Wisconsin. And I thought, well, this is not going to work, based on what I saw of him at guard, this is not going to work at guard. If it works anywhere, it'll work at center. And I'm tempted to say the same thing about Matthew Jones, but the fact of the matter is, he does have that experience. He does have like two 2,000 snaps, 2,300 snaps at one of the best colleges in the country against the best competition. He's solid. And why doesn't he get drafted? He doesn't get drafted because if you're a guard and you don't have something really sexy that stands out about you, something athletically, something from a pure power standpoint, if you don't have something that really sells your story, then this is the path for guards, especially right guards. You don't get drafted, or you get drafted, pretty very late in the weekend. And so that was kind of always going to be his fate, I think. So it'll be interesting if he's able to stick his nose in there somewhere. He is not overly powerful. I agree with Simon fully there. He's not overly powerful, and nor is he overly athletic. So now you're seeing why he didn't get drafted. But he does have that good balanced, compact, coordinated movement ability, and a little bit of extra sauce in the possibility that he could move to center.
All right, and we're going to call it there. And the next time that you hear from us, we will be previewing the defense for training camp, a training camp that I will be at, which begins on the 23rd. Again, if you want to listen to us and you want to hear from us or get a hold of us, you could become a member of our Discord, and that's at discord.gg/OnlyFans. Check out our Twitter page at 3 yards per carry. That's the number 3 yards per carry. We have all information there. You could check out our store by clicking on the links there, and you can become a member of our Discord OnlyFans by clicking on the link that I provide in the pinned tweet. All right, that's it. There is no more. We will talk to you later this week or maybe earlier next week. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 yards per carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Save big on your Labor Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on our full line sale of delicious fresh Tyson chicken with your card. Then get 6 ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.67 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.